Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
To the Guy James Show. Got a frog in my throat. Glad to have you with us today. Glad to have you with us every day. And we're coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Naples area. And it's a beautiful sunshiny day here, hot, humid, and all that, the way it normally is in late July. Last day of July. My God, where's the time going? Last day of July. I can hardly believe it. Racing toward November. Racing toward the Democratic Convention coming up the 25th of August. My goodness, that'll be, what is that, be 3 weeks from Sunday. We'll be leaving for the convention, I guess, 3 weeks from Sunday. So I am looking forward to that. Conventions are a big deal. They're not like they used to be where you went to the convention and didn't know who the candidate was going to be. Not that I ever went to a convention and didn't know who the candidate was going to be. That was a long time ago. I would have been just a toddler the last time that happened. Toddler. There's one of those words. Don't know where it came from. Toddling along, I guess, when you're a little kid. Oh, who cares? Anyway, welcome to the show. I'm glad to have all of you along with us today. We going to talk a lot today about Mr. McNasty, who is running for president on the Republican side of the ticket. Shameful campaign that it is. We will talk a lot about that today. We see that Bush says that he's going to maybe draw down some troops from Iraq. Haven't we heard this before? Doesn't it seem a bit odd that it's coinciding with an election once again? And other interesting news today. I see Washington, D.C. District Court Judge Bates, who, by the way, don't let him put this over on you, this judge was appointed by Junior Bush, so keep that in mind. He is a conservative judge. And he ruled that Harriet Myers and Josh Bolten do not have immunity from congressional subpoenas. Now, you know, of course, they will take this to the Supreme Court, and guess what the outcome of that vote will be? It'll be 5-4 in favor of Bolten and Myers, without a doubt. But don't let them kid you. Judge Bates and they'll excoriate him but good here in the next day or two over this. He's a conservative judge. But once again, he might have been a good, honest judge. He was maybe just following the actual law on this one, which something, the rule of law that we keep hearing about over the years is something I think the Republicans have completely forgotten about, just completely forgotten about. How many of you saw Nancy Pelosi on TV the other night? Did you catch that where she said she was talking about the Republican Congress and how things are going to be different after the election this time around? The Republican Congress? Nancy, the Republican Congress. Did you have one or too many martinis? And by the way, call her up. Call Nancy Pelosi. Here's her number. No excuse for not knowing the number. 202-225-0100. 202-225-0100. Write that down and ask her about this impeachment thing. Ask her about it. Ask her how she feels about it. Ask her if she'll change her mind on it. And ask her if she's going to allow a vote of the entire House on indicting and arresting Karl Rove for contempt of Congress. It got through committee. Now it has to go before the entire House, and let's see if she allows that to happen. Interesting thing of note, I am hearing from my economic advisors, people I depend on for some economic information who never seem to lead me wrong, that Washington Mutual Bank is under severe pressure, having many problems, and may be the next bank to fall. And if they do, that's a big one, folks. That is a big one, Washington Mutual. They're into the feds for a bunch of money. And so keep your eye on that one, Washington Mutual. Are we going to have another one of those Friday night news dumps where we hear that the feds have taken over Washington Mutual? We shall see. I want to thank, and I don't know who you are. I don't think I've ever gotten an email before. Just plain Carl. Carl sent me a email this morning, actually early this afternoon. It was a video of Elizabeth, what's her name, Hasselbeck? That mouthy blonde on that morning show called The View. First of all, keeping in mind that this Elizabeth Hasselbeck, the only reason that she's on The View is because of her celebrity from being on that on the show Survivor. That's how she got, mouthy woman that she is, got the answer to everything, hardcore Bush Republican. I watched this, the reason this was sent to me this morning, that on this show, The View, she said over and over again this morning that Obama's going to double our taxes. Here she is on national TV, economic expert, sage that she is, telling us that Obama is going to double our taxes. And I wondered, how many totally stupid people watched that show and said, gosh, Elizabeth says Obama's going to be doubling my taxes. I better vote for Mr. McNasty. There'd probably be quite a few people that watched that. And that's the problem that I have with these so-called celebrities. And we're going to get into celebrity here in just a moment. People like this Elizabeth Hasselbeck, I've seen her talk before, and it's obvious to me that the woman doesn't have the sense she was born with. Intellectually, she's a zero. And here she is pontificating on this program, well, Obama's going to double our taxes. Now, first of all, she heard that from a Limbaugh or a Hannity or a Savage or somebody of that ilk. You know that's, and she's repeating those talking points. And here she is on a national TV show saying that. And really, I saw about a 10-minute clip of this where they were arguing politics. I didn't really see anybody challenge her on that particular issue. Gonna double our taxes, folks, so we better be careful. We better be careful. Man, oh, man. Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Didn't she marry a professional football player or something. I don't know. Anyway, have so much I want to talk about today. We had a couple of interviews scheduled. One of them had to cancel because of ill health right before the show, so we won't have an interview in the second hour. The first hour, we're going to have Bob Fitrakis, and he's going to talk to us about voter fraud. And Bob will be talking to us, I believe, from Columbus, Ohio. So I'm looking forward to that. A lot of you are interested in voter fraud, and we'll see what Bob's up to these days with that issue. And it's coming up, and the Republicans, better believe, are sharpening their knives. If there's anything they can do in the way of voter fraud, do you know they will? They've done it before. They'll do it again. I'm not saying the Democrats have never done it. It's just that we know for a fact that they did actually swing an election. They did actually steal an election in 2000. So, and it may have happened again in 2004, especially in Ohio. So Bob Fitrakis is coming up at the bottom of this hour. I wanted to talk for just a moment, if you don't mind, about John McNasty and his campaign. I got to watch a couple of times that ad yesterday, and we played the audio of it on this program, and you can't quite get the full hit of it, just audio, with the Paris Hilton and the Britney Spears in it. Let me ask you a question. Why did the McNasty campaign choose a couple of blondes to be in that, the Paris Hilton and Britney Spears? Why did they pick those two to be in that ad? Those two, if I might add this, dumb blondes. Don't know? I suggest you ask Harold Ford of Tennessee why those two blondes were picked to be in that ad. He can tell you. Oh, yeah, he can tell you. And tell me now, do you think that the Republicans will ever have the cojones to come right out and say what they mean? And I don't want to offend anybody, and I'm not saying this to offend anybody. I'm just saying this to bring your attention to it. Do you think they'll have the guts to run an ad that says what they really mean? An ad that says, ladies and gentlemen of America, you don't want a nigger to be our president, do you? Vote McCain. I'm John McCain, and I approve this ad. Why not? Why not just come out and say it? I think I'd respect them more. Oh, you know, they wouldn't use that word, maybe. But why not? Isn't it worse to hate a man for the color of his skin than to use an offensive word to describe him? It really slays me that so many people I talk to who are so obviously racist, you know, well, they're always talking those terms, well, they, you know, those people, you know, people like that. And their friends, you know, those kinds of people. They dance and dance and dance and dance around it. They mean nigger. That's what they mean. They're racist. Why not say it? Why not have the guts to admit and just say right out loud, I'm a racist. I hate black people. I don't want any of them to be president or in office of the United States because I think they're lesser than we are. Why don't they come out and say it? Oh, they want to be nice. They want to be nice. They want us to think they're civilized. Yeah, they want us to think they're very civilized and they're very nice people. They may hate black folks, but they would never call them names. No. They may not want their kids going to school with them, sitting next to them in a classroom. But they're nice people. They're not really racist because they don't use that word, you see. Well, if you think that of black folks, if that's how you are in your heart toward African-American people in this country, you are the worst kind of racist. And you're even a worse racist, in my opinion, if you just don't come out and say so. Don't hide it. Don't hide it. Don't be hypocritical about it. I'm so tired of it. I see it and hear it almost every day. Almost every day. But why don't they just admit it? They're nipping around the edges of it right now in these campaign ads they're doing. Why not just say what they mean? No, instead they'll use the innuendo and other kinds of smears, and they'll try and get the other low-life racist in America to turn out and vote. Honestly now, I'm wondering, I've thought about this. I'm wondering how I'm going to be able to get a parking place at the polls where I live on election day this year because of all the jacked up pick-em-up trucks with shotguns in the back window and Confederate flags from a pole in the bed of the truck being parked there. Probably a .38 under the front seat as well, just in case they run across any of those darkies on the back road, you know. These ads, I just don't understand. Say, you know, St. Ronnie Reagan stood in Berlin and gave a speech. Was he a celebrity? Oh, I forgot. That's how he got to be president, wasn't it? He was an actor. A celebrity. Oh, and Freddie Thompson. A guy who accomplished absolutely nothing as a United States Senator, but was an actor. A celebrity. He was the darling of the Republican Party, of many of them, earlier this year. And I forgot, there's another sainted Republican, Charlton Heston. Wasn't he a celebrity? Arnold Schwarzenegger, governor of California, Republican? Again, isn't that how he got into the governor's mansion? Isn't it? How about Sonny Bono, California? How about, what was his name? The goofy guy from Love Boat, Fred Grandy, who became a congressman from Iowa. How about Coach Tom Osborne from the University of Nebraska becoming a congressman? Jim Bunning from Kentucky, professional baseball player from Kentucky. You don't suppose these people use their celebrity to become politicians, do you? You don't think for a moment they weren't celebrities. You know, cut the crap. This ad boils down to racism. Pure and simple. And it's outrageous. And I'm reminded on the chat room, Clint Eastwood, someone else that uses celebrity to become a politician. And there are others. But that ad is racist. It's got the undertones. All the undertones of the racism right there built right in. And we knew, and we predicted, that it would most definitely, most certainly come to this. We did. This is going to be a racist campaign. They're going to rear their ugly heads like they never have before. They've never had this kind of opportunity before, have they? Oh, they've railed against this person of color, that person of color, or somebody of another ethnic origin than themselves. But never in a presidential election. So that's what makes this so interesting. This is going to draw the real ones out. If this were another time, they'd be getting out their white sheets and their horses and their torches, and they'd be getting ready for their nighttime rides if this were another time. But they're more civilized now, and they know that there are a certain number of people that will maybe look down upon them or cast disparagements their way if they would be seen riding their horses with their white robes and their hoods on at night. But make no mistake about it, these people who have that attitude are just as bad as the Klan. Just as bad as the Klan any old day. Anybody in their heart that harbors resentment toward Barack Obama because he is of a different color, don't you sit there and kid yourself for a moment. Don't you suffer from any illusions or disillusions. Don't kid yourself. Don't try and rationalize it. If you vote against Barack Obama because of the color of his skin, you are just as guilty and just as much a racist as anybody that ever rode one of those horses in the middle of the night and hung people. You are just the same. You, if you harbor those feelings in your heart, you have not matured as an individual. You are not a good American. You are not a patriotic American because you don't stand with for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights stands for. You cannot claim to be a patriotic American and harbor racism in your heart. All men are created equal. All men. So don't hide behind any of that bullshit. I won't hear of it. And most thinking people won't hear of it. You can keep your dirty little secret to yourself and you can go and you can cast your ballot against Barack Obama on that day because of the color of his skin. But know in your heart that if you do that, you're as much a racist as anybody that ever lived. I know people that don't like what I just said, maybe say I shouldn't say it. But I will say it. I'm proud to say it. I mean it. I feel it. I feel it to the depths of my soul. There's nothing worse than being an avowed racist and keeping it a secret. Going to the polls and voting against Barack Obama because of the color of his skin. So many people go to church on Sunday morning, put on their finest and go to church and pray to God and listen to the message coming from the pulpit and walk out of the church thinking they're good people because they've gone to church and they hate black people. They harbor resentment toward black people and they don't think they're equal and they don't think they ought to be president of the United States. Hypocrisy is rearing its ugly head all over America during this time. We knew it would. It is one of the terrible scars that we have on this country that has never quite healed. Oh, it's gotten better, I believe. And I believe as each generation passes, it's gotten better. And as I've mentioned many times before, I had hoped that my children's generation, from the signs I saw early on of that generation, would just get away from racism altogether. Anything. Just means they're another one of God's creatures. And white, black, yellow, red, whatever your skin might be, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. It shouldn't matter. So anyway, that's how I feel about that ridiculous, stupid ad yesterday. You're going to see a lot more. You're going to see a lot more innuendo and little things like that come across from these people. It's the nature of the beast. It's the nature of the Republican Party. They will do whatever it takes to win this election. I'm amazed. They call it the Straight Talk Express. Straight Talk Express. And now they're talking about the meeting, the private meeting that Obama had with House Democrats on Tuesday. A McNasty advisor told CNN's Dana Bush the ad targets Obama's outrageous narcissistic statements and went on to say it has not gone unnoticed by this campaign that Obama makes outrageous narcissistic statements suggesting that his candidacy is what the world has been waiting for. Excuse me, the advisor said. What's going to happen when he parts the sea? What about all the fish in the middle, the advisor said. Well, as par for the course, this McNasty advisor was telling a damn lie. That is not what Barack Obama said in that meeting with House representatives. Not at all. Another lie, sanctioned by John McCain. What he did say was, it has become increasingly clear in my travel, the campaign, the crowds, the enthusiasm, the 200,000 people in Berlin is not about me at all. This is Barack Obama talking. It's not about me at all. It's about America. I've just become a symbol of the possibility of America returning to our best traditions. What exactly in that statement did the McNasty people find so egotistical? Or so outrageous. He said it's not about him. It's not about him at all. It's about America. That's what he actually said. And should he even imply that the world is excited, that maybe, just maybe, America will wake up from its slumber and become once again what it was that we were before the terrible damage was done to us by the Bush, Cheney, and people like McNasty over the past decade. John McNasty doesn't have any substance behind him now. He's not talking about his platform. He's not talking about what he could actually do for America or would plan to do for America. Very little. The thing he's basing his campaign on now is slander and a whole pack of lies. And really, it does disappoint me, as Barack Obama said, that that's the best that the other major party in this country can do. And obviously, that is the best they can do. We will talk today about the new people he's gotten in his campaign. He's hired the best of mudslingers. He's getting advice from Karl Rove. They've made it completely obvious now what their intentions are. And it's not a pretty sight what they plan on doing. This world's becoming a dangerous place to live. Has been for many years, I get, but not because there being so many evil people in the world, but because there's so few people ready to do anything about it. But we're going to do something about it, you and me. And we will stay right at it, I promise you that. We're going to pause for a break. We're going to, maybe I will go to the phone here in just a moment. We've got a couple on the line here. I guess I've got a moment or two before I should get my guest on the line. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, is this the show?
Yes.
Okay, I'm calling for Dr. Bob Petrakis.
Oh, okay, I was just getting ready to call you. Actually, you and I are on live, so...
Oh, okay, wonderful.
Is Bob ready?
He is ready, and call him on the 374 number, please.
Oh, you want me to call him now?
Is he supposed to call you?
Well, no. I just thought since you were calling, the 374. Okay, we'll do that.
Okay,
Nothing like live radio to air all of our stuff here.
Okay, thank you. And we're really excited about the interview.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Well, there you go. Nothing like live radio. Lady calling in a confirmation from Bob Fertigas' office. Let's do take that break that we were going to, and we will be back in just a moment or so don't go anywhere.
John McCain has done more than just embrace George Bush's failed policy in Iraq. It's actually his idea to escalate the war there. It's John McCain's idea to send tens of thousands more soldiers to Iraq and to keep them there with no timeline for bringing them home. The McCain plan to escalate, going from bad to worse.
President Bush has talked about our staying in Iraq for 50 years.
Maybe 100. That'd be fine with me.
President Bush has talked about our staying in Iraq for 50 years.
Maybe 100.
If all he offers is more of the same, is John McCain the right choice for America's future? The Democratic National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you got no place to go when you're feeling down. If you're all alone.
Back, everybody. Glad to have you along with us here on the Guy James Show today. And as promised, without going on and on and on, we've got Bob Fertakis with us from Bob. I believe you're in Columbus, Ohio, right?
Correct.
You've got your law offices there, and you've done a lot of. I'm a former Buckeye. I was born and raised in Ohio, but we're in Southwest Florida now. But so I'm familiar.
There's a lot of Buckeyes down there, and you got to watch out for Michigan people too.
I have nothing to do with them, nothing. I have in my office a little Wolverine hanging from the neck, with a not so nice message behind it. So all the Ohio State and Michigan people understand that, or meat chicken as I officially call them, but. Yes, there are plenty of those folks down here as well. Bob, I wanted to talk to you today. You are, without a doubt, one of the foremost experts in the country on voter fraud, and here we are coming up with another election again, and we all know how things went in Ohio the last time around. I should tell everybody that you are an attorney, and you've done a great deal of research into what happened in Ohio last time around, and we had problems here in Florida as well as in other places too.
I think Florida, you guys are the pioneers from 2000.
Oh, tell me, tell me about it. My cousin is Mary Ellen Withrow. She was the treasurer of the United States during the Clinton administration, and
oh, that's right. Yeah, actually, a very famous Buckeye politician. She is the former state treasurer here.
Oh yes. And I just spoke to Mary Ellen last night, but I'll never forget her comments during that 2000 debacle. Mary Ellen and I were on the phone, and this counting of the chads and all this was going on. And I said, Mary Ellen, what can we do? And she said, pray. that was her answer. She knew that crew was on their way down here from Tom DeLay's office. She knew all of that, and she just said, pray.
The very famous, Preppy riot.
Yeah. Don't know how she found out about that ahead of time. I guess it was all over Washington. But anyway, yes, Florida's certainly done their part to disgrace themselves politically. How about Ohio this time around? Have any of the issues been taken care of in Ohio?
Well, there's actually been a variety of important issues taken care of. I mean, there's still some concerns with the apparatus, but for example, the Franklin County Board of Election just bought about another 250 or so machines. You got to remember that Franklin County here in Columbus is where they needed 5,000 machines, but because of rulings by J. Kenneth Blackwell, the existing machines were too old and not certified, not trustworthy. They had to use them, but they couldn't buy any additional ones. So then he ruled they couldn't also have paper backup. So what happened is they conducted an election with a little over half the machines needed, hence creating 3 to 7 hour lines all over the city of Columbus, and particularly in the inner city, which was voting 90% for Kerry. You know, between 20 and 40,000 people ended up walking away.
Wow, 20 to 40,000. Multiply that by Cleveland and Akron, Canton, and Youngstown. And
yeah, it's not surprisingly, really, is all the areas where the weights were all the areas were voting heaviest for John Kerry. But Cleveland was even more startling because, I mean, they pretty much had thwarted the vote in Cleveland prior to the election. They purged 24.93% of all voters in Cleveland. They purged them from the voting roll between the 2000 and 2004 election, even though 80% of them were still eligible to vote in the county. They had just changed addresses.
Now, was that due to the caging? Did they do any caging in Ohio?
Yeah, they did mass amounts of caging, and I mean they caged, you know, particularly black soldiers, you know, people with, you know, if the letter wasn't if somebody didn't respond to a letter or sign for it, then you know they had it not forwardable. So if they're over in Iraq, they ended up being purged from the voting rolls in Cleveland.
Bob, could you take a moment and give a nice, brief, concise no, it's crazy of me to ask a lawyer to give something brief and concise, but sorry about that. I couldn't hold back on that. Explanation of what caging really is.
Well, caging really started out as what we call kind of microcasting. Is that it started out with you wanted to get specific population. What it was turned into really by people like Karl Rove and his IT people, like Mike Connell, was how to use mailings and use data, particularly gleaming public data, to in fact stop, instead of appealing to your people, it's how do you stop the other guy's people from voting and participating. And essentially, you cage them.
And do so by?
Oh, there's a lot of ways you can. The most horrendous ones, caging tactics I saw were in Columbus. What they did is they, through Choice Point, which was made famous down there in Florida, remember when they went after the 8,000 felons?
Mm-hmm.
Last count, they ended up knocking off about 92,000 people. It kept rising. Like, you get the data with everyone with the same or similar name. But in your case in Florida, that was actually done by Ms. Harris there, your Secretary of State.
Love her,
but
yes.
What they did here in Columbus and in Ohio is you do data collection. Say, for example, you get the names of everyone who's behind on their child support, everyone that has parking tickets unpaid, everyone that's on probation, even though they're eligible to vote. And essentially, you send them letters and call them. And, you know, we have sworn affidavits on these and police complaint. I call you up. You're in a halfway house. And I say, look, you're on probation. If you show up to vote, I guarantee you you'll be arrested. You're breaking the law. Or I call you up and say, I see you got 5 parking tickets. If you show up, we're going to arrest you for a speeding ticket, a parking ticket, and essentially – you're keeping people in their houses. You're caging them so they don't go out and vote.
And this is this isn't a one or two man boiler room operation to do to
no,
call
no,
that many
right
people.
In the White House, this was the Mighty Texas Strike Force from Texas with a few allies. And when we actually had reporters called up and asked them about it, and you know they said they were formed by a man named Karl Rove.
Yeah,
it goes right to the White House.
Do you see any let up of that going around this time? Are we ready for it more this time? Is there anything we can do about that?
Here's the problem. There's about 17 of these states, and particularly Ohio and Indiana. The caging that used to be done and the challenges by the Republican operatives, they've now passed laws, you know, where they control the legislature. So they got the election officials doing it now. In Indiana, you have to have a state picture ID. The purges have been made mandatory many places. In Ohio, you have to have multiple sources of ID, but even beyond that, there's all sorts of things with provisional ballots that are put in. They have these little stop signs by your names if you're a suspect.
How would the nuns in Indiana show an ID?
Well, I think that was the whole point, right? Is like, we know that in certain cities, Detroit, for example, a few years ago, a study showed 40% of adults in that city don't own a car, too poor to own a car, can't afford a car, etc. So they don't have driver's license. So Indiana, you know, with the nuns and the other people, you have the gold standard. Signing your name with a name in the book, which has worked well in the United States with very few incidences at all involving voter fraud. Most of the instances are actually election fraud, you know, more of the strange stuff that happens down your way where suddenly the state, you know, police are out and asking people, you know, for their chauffeur's license if they're driving a church bus or van.
Right.
And so they've really attempted to shrink and restrict the population. And the key way they're doing this in Ohio and a few other states is through the electronic poll list, you know, essentially the list of voter registers, those who are registered to vote, and they electronically come in and purge, and a lot of times you don't know until you show up to vote that somebody has eliminated your name from the computer. I mean, short of a death certificate, I don't know why you would expunge somebody's name from the computer.
Well,
voting should be a right.
You're right. And here in Florida, you mentioned that 92,000. There's a great number of those people who still do not have their names back on the voting rolls here in Florida. So that was something that was effective, you know, for coming up on a decade now. I don't know how many of them have actually pushed real hard to get back on the voting rolls. I have no way of knowing that. But that's something that was highly effective here in Florida, especially when it was a difference of what, if you'd have split it down the middle, 257 votes or something, if it had swung the other way, I can't remember.
Sure, yeah, and I saw the report, about 54% of them initially, it was reported, were African-American,
yes.
Voting 90% for Gore.
Do you have the rule in Ohio, and I'm not sure about Florida now, about the exact, the way they're getting by some of this, the exact registration, your name might be William, and if you sign Bill, you can't.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're using, you know, computer matches, you know, and what they're doing is they're making them real loose, casting a wide net. In Florida, they used it as same or similar name or same date of birth as a felon would get you thrown off, even though you weren't a felon. So you had that. Then in a lot of states, they've moved, like say you registered to vote. You know, on your ID, you had a situation. Let me move away from the phone here. But on the ID, you moved away. On your ID, you put an initial. But when you registered the vote, you didn't have an initial. They essentially were rejecting you as a voter or making you vote provisional because you had an initial.
Well, your organization, Bob, what are you doing this year to shore up everything in Ohio that things go straight there?
Well, we're doing massive public records requests. You know, the last time they kind of caught people by surprise. You know, they purged a bunch of people in late August. Diebold, a friend of, you know, the CEO, a friend of President Bush, one of his major donors, ended up purging 10,000 people accidentally in Cleveland on his electronic polling software. So you're in a situation where this year we're going to the County Board of Elections virtually every day and asking them to see the list. it's the only thing you can really do, because last time, 28,000 voters in Toledo thought they were registered to vote. This is in 2004. And remember, Ohio only purges in odd number of years, 2001, 2003. So you call up, they tell you your name's on the poll, and on August 28, 2004, they zap you out of the computer with no explanation. So, you know, we have been keeping track of those rolls, and we've made it very clear. And the Secretary of State, who won as a reformer, Jennifer Bruner, a lot easier to deal with than J. Kenneth Blackwell, who, you know, election campaign.
Yeah, I would say she's easier to deal with than Blackwell. At least you got rid of one of your problems there.
We got rid of the most partisan Secretary of State, guy in history, except maybe, Ms. Harris down there.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem is, you know this problem as a Buckeye. You know, say you go to play Michigan in the big house up there in Ann Arbor, and the guy reffing the game, you know, the fair administrator, is wearing maize and blue. He's the head cheerleader, and he's co-chairing the booster club. And every single call goes the way of the Wolverines. People would know immediately that there was some cheating going on if that happened. That's exactly what Catherine Harris did in Florida in 2000, and what J. Kenneth Blackwell did even more blatantly here in Ohio. Remember, he sent people's voter registration back, because they were primarily from urban center, citing an old law from the 19th century that it had to be on 80 bond paperweight.
Yeah, that was the best one I think I ever heard. And by the way, I've actually seen that happen in Ann Arbor, Michigan, so I, particularly in 1971, a couple of years, where the I'm pretty sure the cheerleaders were refereeing the game. So you've got a PR effort going on. And tell us a little bit about your organization. How are you funded? What kind of a staff?
We're a 501c3. You know, we started out as a nonprofit newspaper, news analysis and political wonks, and then out of necessity, we ended up branching out into CICJ books. And because nobody, because we were observing the election and reporting on it, we ended up in as election protection litigation organization, because we have a couple of attorneys on our board and on our staff. So, we have freepress.org, and my own site, which is we're dealing with litigation on, is tetrakis.org. So people can go there if they're interested in contributing to the nonprofit and helping us out here in Ohio.
So Bob, would you spell that out for me?
Counties to cover.
Yeah, would you spell that out for me? For Trakis, it's F-R-A-T.
F-I-T. Trakis. R-A-K-I-S. F-I-T. R-A-K-I-S. .org. Or they can go to freepress.org.
Freepress.org.
Which is the nonprofit online newspaper.
You must be Greek.
We've got 88 counties to cover. Yes, it is actually Cretan.
Yeah, figured that.
And I know you get—I know you have a few Greeks down there in Florida.
Well, I've got one here in my house, so that here at the studio, actually, that did attend the Orthodox Church there, just right there and smack in the middle of North High Street, I guess you should say.
Sure. Everyone, the famous in the short north.
Yep. I had a note here I wanted to ask you about. There was a red flag story that came up in the Miller-McCune article. Maybe you saw it, by David Rosenfeld, identifying Ohio again as one of the five battleground states that have performed so poorly in election integrity. How many people? And are you one of the attorneys contesting the results of the 2004 election?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
The King Lincoln in Brunsville, I'm one of the three attorneys. In fact, Cliff Arnebeck's just in the other office working on a motion. We were working on that just prior to me taking the call. So, yeah, now we sued Secretary of State Kenneth Blackwell in 2006, essentially accusing him, our first black Secretary of State, of disparate treatment and racial discrimination against black voters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's
which is a fairly easy case to make statistically against him.
He's got a nice cushy job in Washington D.C. now at one of the think tanks. I can't remember if it's Heritage Foundation or
the family whatever that family council is.
One of those, but. He moved right in. He didn't miss a beat. He went right straight to D.C., and I knew he would. He'll probably come back and try Ohio politics again. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, in fact, a few of the right-wing true believers want him to run for PT, even though he did get trounced here dramatically.
Yes.
He outperformed what they predicted, which isn't a surprise when he's doing his own election. But he got about 12 points more, but the Republicans were so discredited. By 2006, Bob Taft, the governor, actually left the state with a 7% approval rating. And that was a plus or minus 3. He may have been at 4%.
Oh, yeah. Probably one of the most unpopular governors ever in Ohio. And I see one of our...
He ended up with 4 first-degree misdemeanors, although he admitted to at least 62 times he accepted gifts. But it tells you a lot about Ohio politics, because instead of totaling up the money so it'd be a felony, they just charged them separately for this repeated pattern of behavior.
Well, when they have control of the state house, as they do in many. I see one of our former Ohioans may get the nod for VP, Kathleen Sebelius, really born and raised in Ohio, I believe. John Gilligan's daughter, right?
Right, correct.
She's governor of Kansas right now, and she may well get named to the Democratic ticket. In fact, if I had to bet today, I'd say that's where it's going to go. But what do I know?
Well, it would solve certain problems for Obama and having a contentious race with a well-known and powerful woman.
Yeah, but
so I think it'd be a very good choice. It balanced the ticket very well, and. Of course, she has very strong ties to this state, which, as you well know, is no Republican has ever won unless they've won in Ohio.
Right, right. Well, they're not going to get Ohio this time. I'm counting all my good friends up there to take care of it. I'll man the stations here in Florida. Well, wait a minute. I don't know about that, especially where I live.
Well, if you want to come, are you guys going to be in battle there in Florida again? And Pennsylvania, of course, is now in. We're somewhat concerned about the state next door to Ohio, because they don't even have to have the thermal paper in their touchscreen machines, or as we like to call them, push and pray machines.
Well, that brings up, push and pray. I love that.
That's faith-based voting.
Isn't it Franklin County? Again, I could be wrong, and I'm just doing this from memory or something I read a long time ago. Isn't it Franklin County that allowed poll workers to take the machines home with them at night, and then they disallowed it, and now somebody's suing trying to get them to be able to do it again?
Oh, yeah. All the counties, there's a variety of them, Franklin, but particularly Hocking County. And it's interesting that you would bring that up, because there's been a... ruling recently that many of the county boards have decided they're still going to have sleepovers in the rural county. Franklin County has stopped doing that, in part because so many of us pointed out that these machines are, programmable. They're computers. They're computer voting, and there's this whole occupation called computer programmers.
So what makes anybody think it would be safer in Hocking County or Crawford County or Allen County to take a home than it is in Columbus?
I have no ideas. I think we may end up suing over this.
That's an odd, very odd situation.
Yeah, there's a chain of custody. Actually, the Secretary of State, and this is one of the things we requested in our negotiations, which are ongoing to settle the 04 election, is we wanted a chain of custody. We wanted to actually know who had the machines, who touched them, who programmed them, because in 41 of Ohio's 88 counties, a far right-wing, true believer, Republican loyalist family, the Rapp family, you may know, their subsidiary was the one that did the butterfly ballot for you people
mm-hmm.
That became famous from Florida.
Yes. You have to keep reminding me of all that.
They do the machines in Ohio. They're based here in Xenia, Ohio. And when they're not out demonstrating against, you know, perceived liberal and democratic people, they're busy tweaking all the central tabulators and doing the IT support.
Well, I hope you'll be able to keep an eye on everything this year. I hope you've got plenty of help, because it's going to be a desperate time for a certain political party this year. And I think all the guns and knives will be out, and they'll be working extra hard at doing what we're pretty sure they've done before. So I congratulate you on your work. Again, that's Petraeus.org and freepress.org, where people can find out information.
Yeah, correct. And there's actually election protection for Ohio. Although I imagine in Florida, you guys can invest in your own state there.
Yeah. Yeah, we've
before there was Ohio, there was Florida.
That's true. Well, infamous, both of us now, politically, in a way to run an election. Bob, thanks so much for being on the program today. You're always a wealth of information and interesting to talk to, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you again before the election.
All right, I appreciate that. Thanks for the time.
Thanks very much. Bob Petraeus from Petraeus.org. Or freepress.org. Check him out on Free Press. If there's anything to do with nasty politics, cheating, lying, stealing by the Republicans in Ohio, Bob knows about it. And all through the Midwest, the guy knows he knows a whole lot about that. And he's an attorney there in Columbus, and really started in on one part of the voter fraud thing and got sucked into the whole thing now. So he is an expert, and I just don't know that they're going to be able to get away with as much they did the last time around, because it's going to be a whole lot of people like Bob keeping a close eye on him this time. So we shall see. Wouldn't it be nice if Ohio bumped up the vote by so much that they wouldn't even be able to, you know, tweak it here, a few votes here, a few votes there, and we just win big. I'm worried about Ohio. I'm worried about Michigan. I'm worried about Pennsylvania. I'm worried about Indiana. We should win all those states. We should absolutely win all those states this time around. I mean, there shouldn't be any question about it. And yet, you know, everybody's biting their nails over some of those states. In Florida, I see the latest poll out in Florida has got McNasty ahead by a couple of points. So you just don't know what's going to happen. But if ever there was a group of states that you could bet on being for a Democratic candidate, it ought to be Ohio and Michigan and Pennsylvania this year, and Indiana too. Look what's happened to the jobs in those states. The idea that Michigan, in particular, and Ohio could swing the other way and go Republican this year, well, it's almost unthinkable to me. It really is. Well, it was good talking to Bob, and do check out that website, freepress.org. You'll find out not just about Ohio, but other states as well. Imagine that, allowing the poll workers to take the machines home. That was so they didn't have to get up so early to go to the polls. They can take them home with them, and then take them to the polls in the morning. And meanwhile, some good computer geek sitting home there, okay, let me work on this baby. That's what I think might be going on. I don't know. Hey, we're going to pause for news. Coming up at the top of the hour, listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Got a whole lot more for you coming up in the second hour, and we hope you'll participate as well at 866-546-5254. We'll be back right after the news.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Millions of workers nationwide have no paid sick days. That includes 5.4 million in California, 40% of the state's workforce. California's Healthy Families, Healthy Workplaces Act would change that by requiring employers to provide 5 to 9 paid sick days per year for workers. A new report on the public health effects of this proposal shows it would improve public health in California. Dr. Rajiv Bhatta co-wrote the report.
We're workers with paid sick days were more likely to go to doctors for preventative care, to take time off when sick, and to care for their own children when their children were sick. We were really struck by the fact that those with the greatest need for paid sick days had the least access. California workers in poor health and with chronic diseases like hypertension were less likely to have paid sick days.
Alicia Hershey is a San Francisco restaurant worker who sees the need for paid sick days firsthand.
When people are sick, we tend to come into work anyway because we need to make that money for that shift. So I know as a restaurant worker myself, I rarely take off sick time, even when, you know, you might have a cough or a cold and then that gets spread around to the people that you work with, and then not taking the time off to care for oneself ends up perpetuating that illness and having it, you know, affect one's life in maybe a longer time period and in a more dangerous way.
Harvard's Dr. Jody Hyman says it's possible to mandate paid sick days and remain economically competitive. Just look at the rest of the world.
To me, one of the most compelling pieces of evidence is just how many countries around the world are able to do this. 145 countries around the world have some kind of paid sick leave.
Deputy Mayor for Health and Human Services Linda Gibbs says a new poverty guideline in New York City has raised the income considered to be poverty level for a working family of four. The revised guideline is more than $6,000 higher than the current federal poverty standard of $20,444.
Here in New York City, it's $26,138. So it recognizes the increased cost of living, the changes in the basket of goods and services that people need to have in order to meet their daily expenses.
Gibbs says this poverty guideline revision in New York City recognizes the need to reevaluate what modern poverty really is, given the rising cost of living. The AFL-CIO is reaching out to 600,000 union voters in the swing states of Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. The Labor Federation is attempting to accurately define Senator Barack Obama to those voters. Mailers are going out to union households in these key battleground states in an effort to counter misperceptions and false information being circulated about Obama. The mailers include testimonials from workers on Senator Obama's record on jobs, health care reform, and workers' rights. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Sounds every Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the latest in new music releases, special segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications with the sassy and classy Erica Richards. For requests and dedications, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. So tune in and stop by the chat room this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Thanks for lending an ear.
Every vet respects John McCain's war record. It's his record in the Senate that I have a problem with. He wants us to keep spending $10 billion a month in Iraq, just like Bush. That's money we could use to build schools and roads and create needed jobs here at home. He even took sides with Bush against increasing health care benefits for veterans. People should let John McCain know. His agenda is not what we need. Not now.
Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, do you hear me? Give my creation! Fly!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
You can count down. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back. Hope you learned something from the news. Always something to be learned on our news. Always something to be learned here on the Guy James Show. That's what it's all about. Maybe a little entertainment, but mostly information that you can use, information that you can process and use with your friends, your family, your acquaintances, and all that to bring them around to the proper view. That's right. We're all one big team here, and we get together and exchange information, and that way we can see what's right and what's wrong and what needs to be promoted and not. Anyway, thank you for joining us here on the Guy James Show. It's very, very good to have you along with us today. We were supposed to have, at this time today, a gentleman by the name of David Johnson. And David Johnson is CEO of Strategic Vision, LLC, which is a company. He's a veteran Republican consultant and pollster. And he worked on Bob Dole's 1988 presidential campaign, and he's overseen numerous campaigns across the nation. And we were going to have him on today to discuss how this Senator Stevens issue has hurt the Republicans in the Senate. And he's come down ill today with a sore throat, and he's at home and not at the office, so we won't be having him on today. And that's too bad, because I watched Senator Stevens' video this morning of him, giving himself up and appearing in court. I don't care how old he is. What is he, 84, 86? Too old to be a senator, frankly. But I think there comes a time when a person ought to understand that maybe they're not what they used to be. I don't care. It's nothing against old people whatsoever. I hope to be one someday. But if I'm 84, 86 years old, and I've been in the United States Senate for 40 years, I would hope I'd have the good sense to say, hey, my time is done. Let me give somebody else an opportunity to serve. Serve might be the wrong word for Senator Stevens. Senator Stevens, and I think time will bear this out, and sooner than later, because I see his trial is going to begin even before his primary election, sometime in September. God only knows how long it'll take for the trial, but I'll believe that if I see it, if they actually have a trial in September. But it appears that this man is as dirty a politician as has ever come down the pike. It appears that politics in Alaska are as dirty as things get anywhere. It appears that Mayor Daley could have learned a thing or two about the politicians from Alaska. Here we have Senator Ted Stevens, United States Senator, has been ratted out by a corporate guy, I can't think of his name right now, for taking huge payoffs from him in the way of furniture and having his house remodeled, I think to the tune of about $250,000. His son is also being investigated. He's in the House of Representatives in Alaska now. Is he still in there? It seems the Stevens family's had their own private little fiefdom in Alaska. And understanding that Stevens has brought home something like $3 billion in pork to Alaska, I can understand why the voters there might want to keep the guy in office. But don't you become a good citizen at one time or another and say, hey, the pork's not worth it, it's not worth the shame of having a corrupt United States senator and having their state house up there, from what I understand, is all intertwined in this, Vico deal. They actually had hats made the Corrupt Bastards Club. is so blatant and so open. These people taking payoffs, there are several of them under investigation for taking cash from this Vico guy. Why do the people of a state let that go on? Even though he's brought a bunch of dollars back to that state, why do they let it go on? Now, this guy, let's just tell it like it is. Senator Ted Stevens is an ass. He's a guy that's not well liked by most of the people in the Senate. The guy actually wears a incredible Hulk tie on certain days in the United States Senate to let everybody know not to mess with him. That he's going to fight hard that day. People like Ted Stevens. And we could go on and on about Alaskan politicians. You've got your Don Young, their only congressman, been down here in Florida grabbing money for a very obvious quid pro quo on this Interstate 75 interchange that he was trying to get through for a friend of his who owns all the land around where the interchange was going to be. Raised I don't know how much money, just up the road from where I'm sitting right now. So how's this going to affect the national election? Stevens' own re-election campaign, or as it would seem, are the people of Alaska okay with having a con man as their United States Senator? Are they okay with the allegations that this guy's an out-and-out crook? Is the fact that he's brought home the bacon to Alaska more important than whether or not that he's a criminal? We shall see. It's a waterfalls from the Republicans in criminality here this year. We've got Senator Vitters, you know, had his little deal going on there. But at least Stevens isn't involved in a gay sex scandal like Larry Craig or Mark Foley in his little soiree. And Bob Allen of Florida, who is the chairman of McCain's Florida Campaign Committee, and Glenn Murphy, the junior national chairman of the Young Republicans. So our Scooter Libby or Duke Cunningham or Jack Abramoff, all those nice folks. Will voters get the message? Or will the Republican voters say, oh, that's just a few bad apples and we can't hold them responsible for what's happening there? I do wonder. Who's going to be the VP? We got that sweepstakes going on right now in the McCain side, the McNasty side. We got Bobby Jindal. We got Pawlenty of Minnesota. We got Romney. Who else? I forget who else. And then over in the vice presidential side, we've got Tim Kaine from Virginia that all of a sudden is kind of floating up to the top. We got Kathleen Sebelius from Kansas. We got Evan Bayh from Indiana. We've got Joe Biden. Joe says he doesn't want it. What do we end up with? Anybody got the odds-on favorite for this whole thing? I think Hillary's out. It sounds to me like she truly is out of the running for that. So that disappoints me a little bit. But I would like to see Kathleen Sebelius. I think she would be very good to be in the United States Congress. That would be a good thing. United States Vice Presidency, presiding over the Senate. 866-546-5254, if you'd like to join the program. 866-546-5254. I think we've seen in the past few months a can of worms opened in Washington, D.C., whereby we have not only seen over the past 7-plus years the most incompetent political administration that we've seen in our lifetime, certainly in the last century. Not only that, but we've seen the most corrupt administration in the history of the United States of America. And the more we dig, the more we find, and one wonders if there will ever be any accountability for any of it. One wonders if Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Barack Obama, if he becomes a new president, if and when he becomes our new president, will want to go back and look through some of these things. I see Obama is saying that that he will look over some of Bush's personal rulings that he might be, I forget what you call them right now, not signing statements, but he will go back over that and try and change some things if it warrants. But we've got the news story out about Monica Goodling and the Department of Justice and Pat Robertson's Regent University, which, from what we've seen in the Bush administration, that Regent University, the Bush administration just awash with these faux lawyers from Regent University. How the hell did this school even get accredited? I mean, either they specialize in graduating zombie-like liars and prevaricators, or they have no idea what the real law degree is supposed to be. Because is there such a thing as faith-based law? This Monica Goodling gets in Alberto Gonzalez's Department of Justice, and she's given a free hand to come up with her own criteria for who ought to be in the Justice Department and who didn't. And it boiled down to politics on non-political appointments. It boiled down to faith and whether or not someone was gay or knew anybody was gay or whether their relatives were of a different political party. What kind of a government is this? And what kind of a president of the United States would sanction something? Well, I think we know. I think we do know. And yet the Democrats have sat here and not done a damn thing about it. Democrats have made us so proud in the last few years, the Military Commissions Act, the Terry Schiavo deal, the war funding, over and over and over again, the war funding, giving Bush the okay to go into Iraq, and people like Justice Roberts and Alito and Alberto Gonzalez and the FISA and the telecommunications immunity and the Medicare giveaway to the big pharmacy and impeachment off the table. The Democrats have done us very proud, have they not? I have not in my lifetime been so disappointed over Congress as I have been, and I still don't understand what Nancy Pelosi was saying the other night when she was talking about this Republican Congress. I would like to discuss that with her. I really would. 866-546-5254. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment or two.
We're voting Republican because we don't like shopping at small neighborhood stores.
We don't want the problem of choosing where to shop.
And we just love cheap plastic crap from China.
I'm voting Republican because I don't really want a cure for AIDS or breast cancer. They're just gays and women.
I'm voting Republican because I think new drugs should be made available immediately, whether they've been tested properly or not. If the major pharmaceutical companies' bottom lines are healthy, then I feel healthy too.
Bye-bye, baby. Have a good day. Yeah. I'm voting Republican so that my little Caitlin can be in the classroom with at least 30 other children. That way, she can be challenged by fighting for attention.
I'm voting Republican because women just can't be trusted to make decisions about their own bodies. Never, ever, ever.
I'm voting Republican because I've already seen a great outdoors. Continuing our use of fossil fuels freely is far more important than preserving our natural wetlands.
We're voting Republican because we like a conservative majority on the Supreme Court.
We really like knowing that even if we're separate, we'll still be called equal.
I'm voting Republican because I need to be told who I can love.
I told you.
Honey, I need the government to tell me.
I just need them to tell me how I can best show a lifetime commitment.
And Republicans are just the folks to do that, sweetheart.
I'm voting Republican because corporations should not have to pay to clean up environmental damage. The EPA is an outmoded idea. If people want clean water, buy it in a bottle.
I'm voting Republican because I don't want to know if the food I'm eating has been genetically modified or exposed to radiation. I don't want to have to live with that fear, you know? So, if the label says it's food, that's good enough for me.
I'm voting Republican because
I really enjoy being screwed by the utility companies.
We need more minorities in prison.
Because hybrid cars really suck.
I just don't feel I deserve health insurance.
Because Texas needs more billionaires.
I'm voting Republican because sometimes the Constitution is just one big inconvenient headache.
I think the whole world should be run by one big corporation. I think it'd be so much cozier.
Because all other countries are inferior to us.
And we should start as many wars as we need to keep it that way.
So I can stay in Iraq.
So I can go to Iran.
So if you were thinking about voting something besides Republican, don't bother. Stay home. We've got it all taken care of. You'll get exactly what you deserve.
Listen to the Guy James Show. Welcome back. Good to have you along with us this afternoon. I was sitting here thinking a while ago, I was mentioning of some of the criminality of the Bush administration and the corruption in the Bush administration. I thought, my God, I didn't even scratch the surface of that. It's literally stunning when you stop and think about what's taken place over the past few years, and the American people have just sat here and said, okay, we'll take it. We don't care what you do. Now, the thing I'd like to know is this something that the American people just, well, they're all like that, so maybe these guys are not as bad at crooks as some of the others we could elect, so we'll just keep putting them in there, we'll keep allowing this. Washington's crooked, what do we care? We can't do anything about it anyway. What is it? Or do they think that the crimes committed these people are by these people aren't really that bad? That they just kind of hedged a little bit. They just were around the edge. You know, they didn't really mean that. Or that the Democrats are being nasty people and accusing these good men and women of criminality. What do you suppose it is? We see Tom DeLay, for example, going around the country still, speaking to Christian groups. Yes, that's right. Invited to fundamentalist Christian churches all over the country. Tom DeLay speaking, getting speaking fees and his expenses, and speaking to Republican groups. This is a man that's disgraced. That's absolutely disgraced. This isn't a man whom we said had an affair with an intern or something. This is a guy who had his hand out. This is a guy who was involved with Jack Abramoff. This is a scumbucket, Tom DeLay. Grover Norquist, Ralph Reed, both of those guys cleaned out some American Native American tribes. Cleaned them out, tens of millions of dollars. Just made off with all their money in some cases, and they're sitting there fat and happy with the money, and hey, we screwed the Native Americans. Isn't that a shame? We had the White House denying the fact that they had any... Well, we didn't know Jack Abramoff. We didn't know him. Well, wait a minute. Here's a picture of Jack Abramoff with the president, but that was just at a Christmas party, so we don't really have any knowledge of that. We here at the White House. Do you know that the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform earlier this year came out with their report that found that Jack Abramoff and the Bush administration had 485 contracts. 485 contracts between Jack Abramoff and the Bush administration. How many people in the public know that? I know many people in the public know Jack Abramoff is in prison, that he committed some sort of crime, screwed somebody out of some money, whatever. Just another white-collar criminal in prison. Do they understand that Jack Abramoff had 485 contacts between himself and the Bush administration? 485 contacts. When the White House first said, well, we don't, no, he hadn't, no. We know, according to that report, that some officials in the White House have admitted that they really thought Abramoff was a really great guy, and that they went to him for recommendations and advice. Jack Abramoff. Now here's the thing. Jack Abramoff is in prison, and I think he's serving, I don't know, 5 years, something like that. And I don't think he can get out before that, but I'm not sure. He's doing time in a federal prison in Maryland. And do you know why he's doing time in a federal prison in Maryland? It's because they're going to talk to him every chance they get, and he's handy to Washington, D.C. there to get him to squeal. And he is squealing. He's singing like a canary. And there are people all over Washington, D.C. and outside of it that are they're definitely scared to death that the FBI is going to come knocking on their doors because Abramoff, their good friend, who enjoyed millions of dollars of illicit profits along with these people, is going to turn them in. Now, Abramoff is in federal prison for 5 years, but he has not been sentenced yet for a bunch of other crimes that he's been indicted for. He's been indicted for tax evasion and defrauding the Indian tribes and bribery in and around Washington, D.C. And insiders know that the FBI is squeezing Abramoff, maybe to get a reduced sentence, no doubt, on his part. And there are a lot of people who are sweating this out, whether or not he's going to turn them in. But in the meantime, you've got Tom DeLay. You got Grover Norquist, this anti-tax bastard in Washington, D.C. that he whistles and says jump, and the Republicans ask how high. He's led that anti-tax movement for a long time, been very popular. It's just interesting that these people, and as I mentioned, this Monica Goodling, and now we see this Alaskan Republican Ted Stevens. It just, Stevens had dealings with Jack Abramoff. That's right. He got campaign money from Jack Abramoff. What's Jack Abramoff giving money to a senator in Alaska for? Also, Stevens got, what was it, over $16,000 or $17,000 from Native American tribes. Not in Alaska. So that just goes to how far the corruption goes in this administration from bottom, top to bottom. If I were the new, if I were the new president, if I were Barack Obama and I were being elected president, I think I would tell everybody in Washington that's not a career person, just clean out your desk as of the 20th. I mean, a lot of them do anyway, but get the hell out and don't come back and just beat it. One has to wonder if there's anybody in this Bush administration that's honest. And I mean that. You look over their record over the past few years, you have to wonder if any of them are honest whatsoever. And here you've got your John McNasty trying to run a third Bush campaign, and he's getting down and dirty with the campaign now, as ugly as always. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. How are you doing today?
Well, good.
Well, I just wanted to touch base with you to see what your take is on Obama injecting race into everything today. What's been the conversation today about that?
Well, I think he's exactly right.
You think so?
You're not going to tell me that the good old boys in Texas and Louisiana and Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia and North Carolina and South Carolina and Tennessee, you're not going to tell me there's not a bit of anti-Obama vote there because of racism, hardcore racism?
Oh, I won't say there's none, but to say that that's the majority, I think that's wrong. I don't think that you're racist because you sit there and you talk about Michael Steele like he's the devil himself.
Michael Steele?
Yeah.
When did I ever say Michael Steele was the devil himself?
Well, you don't have to say it that way, but you talk about him and some of the other black leaders in the Republican Party, other black elected officials.
Who are those? Once again, you want to tell me all the members of the black members of the Republican Congress?
Oh, in the Congress, none. But I'm
not. Why is that, you suppose, Mike?
I imagine because people like the left and all that stuff keep hammering them down and keep saying they're Uncle Toms, like Lynn Swan, for instance, running for position there in Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
And they keep running people down like that. And so they don't have an opportunity to advance anymore because the left.
Well, I don't know, Mike. It seems to me over on the other side of the aisle, there are quite a few folks there of color. Why would it just be that Republicans don't have any? You know, going to Congress, wouldn't you be an Uncle Tom if you were on either side of the aisle?
I'll tell you what, it would seem that way, but that just doesn't seem to be the way it is, does it?
Well, absolutely it appears to be the way it is. There are zero Republicans in the United States Congress of color.
Does it make you a racist because you disagree with Michael Steele's political viewpoint? Just because he happens to be black, should not even enter into the discussion. Why is Obama putting race into the discussion?
You don't think that ad yesterday was racist?
Which ad?
Just happened to have a couple of blondes in that thing, just like they did to Harold Ford in Tennessee. Just happened to say, oh, you know, there's a couple of blondes. He's a celebrity. This guy, he's an uppity nigger. That's what he is. He's uppity.
Those people.
He's a celebrity nigger. That's right. That's what he is. That's what the. Why don't they say it?
Because that's not what they think. Apparently, it's the ones on the left that think that, guys.
Oh.
The ones that always keep bringing it up.
I see. So we don't put any black folks in the Congress on our side because we're dead set against them, and over on the other side. You know, it's painful. It's amazing.
It's not about black and white to me.
It isn't?
I don't.
Maybe
no,
it isn't
not.
To you, but you think it isn't in your party?
There may be some, but there's just as many or more in the Democrat Party.
I'm asking you to show me that. The best barometer that I can possibly think of is to look at the United States Congress.
So
not one single black person in the United States Congress. Not one.
If that is your only measure.
That's not my only measure, but I think it's the best one, don't you?
No, I don't.
What would be the best one?
What the Democratic Party has been successful in doing is convincing black people that they are their party. They are looking out for them.
Oh, so they're stupid then. They'd have to be stupid to believe the Democrats then, right?
The thing is, they are, no, they've been scared.
Oh.
The racist stuff that they say about Republicans, and they simply haven't sat down and looked at all the different things. We have not done a
I didn't job. Realize those black folks were that stupid, that they could have that stuff pulled over their eyes like that. Mike,
so
thanks
I guess for... the Democratic Party thinks they're very stupid because they keep going out there telling them they're going to fix this problem and that problem.
And they keep electing them to the United States Congress that they think are so stupid, don't they?
Not a whole lot has changed.
You tell me.
Well,
you tell me one thing the Republican Party's done for the black folks in this country. Give me an example.
Well, you won't like it, but they put more money back in their pockets, just like they have most all Americans.
Most more money back in their pockets. How was that?
Tax cut. And home ownership has happened, and that's not just a Republican or a Democrat thing.
Tax cuts.
You know? Yeah.
Tax cuts, yeah.
Mike,
you're not going to get away with that one. You know, most people in this country, great majority of people, that tax cut, if you'll pardon the thing, didn't amount to a fart in a windstorm. Didn't amount to anything for most people. And most people I know.
It may not have meant a whole lot for people who didn't have a bunch of kids, but for people who have kids, each week got an extra $1,000 per kid.
Oh, yeah.
That does help.
They all got rich off of that. But you're really telling me that the black folks have been taken in by the Democrats, and I think you'll have to agree that if you're going to get taken in by somebody, you wouldn't be real smart, would you?
I don't think that's it at all.
You said they've been taken in by the Democrats.
I'm not saying they're stupid, though.
You said they've been taken in, that they've been convinced by the Democrats. You're talking about millions of people been taken in by these Democrats.
I just disagree with you, guy. I don't think black people are stupid by any measure.
Well, you said they've been taken in by these Democrats. That been
Taken in and being stupid are two different things, guy.
Oh, no, they're not. Oh, no, they're not.
We'll agree to disagree.
Well, let me ask you another thing here.
We're getting off of the subject. I asked you a question about Obama. Why is Obama introducing race?
He didn't introduce race. He did not introduce race at all.
He most certainly did whenever he said they're going to try to scare us.
Listen, here's one thing you better get used to, Mike.
Because I don't look like the rest of those people on the dollar bills. What's that supposed to mean?
That's just supposed to respond to the innuendo coming from the other side. You know, and I know that that's going to be an issue in this campaign. You know it is.
Only because your side keeps bringing it up.
I tell you, if you deny that the sun was coming up in the morning, that there's...
Absolutely not, guy. Absolutely not.
The good old solid South isn't racist, huh?
I'll tell you one thing. Here in Texas...
Let me ask you a question. Is the good old solid South racist or not?
No. I can tell you right here about Texas, we have some very, very promising people that are coming up through the Republican Party here in the state of Texas. One of our...
How many of them are in the state legislature?
I couldn't tell you the exact number, but there's quite a few.
Mm-hmm. Out of the percentage...
I don't know what the percentage would be, probably 30%.
30% of the Texas legislature is black.
Probably so. You have 135 or so on the House side, and you got 31 senators. So you can look it up if you want to.
I will.
But I can tell you a few.
You know, Mike, I don't have to go very far to discover... racism and hatred coming from the right wing people, your Limbaughs and Hannitys. I don't have to go very far. All I have to do is go back to like Sunday night. All I have to do is quote you that manifesto from that guy that went into that Unitarian Universalist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, and pulled out a shotgun and killed people and said he did it because they were liberals and because they were homosexuals. And then they go to his house, and what do they find, Mike? They find that his reading materials happen to be Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Michael Savage. Do I have to tell you any more than that right there to tell you the kind of hatred that Barack Obama is addressing that's going on in this country? Do I have to go any farther? They preach that every day.
That's bull, and you know
it's bull. Is that wrong? What they found in his house?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
The police chief, if you don't want to believe him, the police chief of Knoxville says that is what they found in his house. And that's what his note contained. And that's why he said he did it, because he hated liberals and he hated homosexuals. And he's going to kill them.
What would they find in your house? What kind of books would they find in your house?
They wouldn't find anything like that, I can guarantee you.
Well, you get hundreds of books from publishers, and I'm quite sure you get some from the
right. I don't get anybody from crazy people like Michael Savage that says that autism is a figment of people's imagination. You've been preaching hate, and I don't mean you personally, but your side has preached hate and fear for so many years now, you don't know any other way to do it. And don't you kid yourself that this McCain campaign won't disintegrate in the dirtiest, most foul campaign you have seen in your lifetime. They've taken on all the people that they can from the past campaigns, from the Bush campaign, and from Karl Rove's people to try and make this the dirtiest, rottenest campaign. They're not talking about John McCain. They're talking about Barack Obama. That's all.
Do you think Barack Obama's campaign hasn't gone back and taken some of the people from past elections? That's absolutely ludicrous.
Ludicrous? Have there been any Swift voters in the past campaign? Have there been any Swift voters in the campaign from the Democrats? You tell me that. Have there?
I don't know which one.
Have there been any Swift voters from Democrats that have done bullshit like they did against John Kerry? You tell me that. Have there? Name me one. Name me one.
I can't sit here and name one.
No, you cannot. Because there has never been a campaign run against Republicans like that.
What about Ludacris? Ludacris himself. He's supposed to be a big buddy of...
Oh, so now you're making a musician. What he writes, that's something that Barack Obama is all for.
Do you... Well, apparently he said he's a great talent and a great businessman. Now, come on. And then... Drop it like it's
Mike,
not. It's
you are so wrong, head up your ass Republican, you don't even know what you're talking about.
To
bring up ludicrous about this is ludicrous. That's got nothing to do with anything.
It does. It has to do with what you're talking about. You're saying that the right is fomenting hatred. What in the name of hell do you think all that gangster rap BS is? All that is promoting anger and hostility.
Is that connected with the Democratic Party?
Absolutely. That's what you got with all these people that are sitting there. There ain't nothing you can do about it. We take it over.
You show me a connection with the donors of the Democratic Party and Ludacris, and I'll kiss your ass at sunrise in Houston. You show me an association with Democratic donors and Ludacris, and I'll just do that.
I guess you better get puckering up because Ludacris had a fundraiser for Obama.
I said, you show me where the Democratic donors are supporting Ludacris and giving him funds like those Swift Boat people did. You're not going to find a case of that, not ever. Don't give me that Hollywood crap about the Hollywood people. They don't matter a whit to me. They don't matter to anybody.
But they're part of what is being fomented and encouraged by...
You know, you're just sounding nuts. They're not part of the Democratic Party. They're not associated with the Democratic Party. I bring up your Jack Abramoffs. I bring up the people that are associated with the Republicans.
What about Tony Resco? And what about Mr. Chu or whatever his name was? What about those guys? You want to sit here and you want to talk about people on the quote right? What about your people on the left?
You got somebody on a par with Jack Abramoff?
Probably Tony Resco.
Oh, you're just so, my friend, you're so totally uninformed. You have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea. Jack Abramoff had infested Republican parties from the party from the top down through almost every segment of government he had his tentacles in. We got people running scared right now on account of Tony Resco, a local thug in Chicago. Got nothing to do with the Democratic Party. Jack Abramoff was running the Republican Party.
Where is he now? I don't think he's running the Republican Party.
I said he was. He's in prison and he's singing like a canary and there's more people going to go down because of it. You've got
how many Democrats will go down?
What, from Jack Abramoff?
Yeah.
None that I know of.
Well, we do. We put our people who go corrupt, we put ours in jail.
Do you now? Is Karl Rove in jail? Is Dick Cheney in jail? Is Scooter Libby in jail?
I thought Karl Rove fled the country. But yet I saw he was in Indiana the other day for a fundraiser.
Fled the country? He fled the country to avoid going to answering a subpoena.
Well, that's kind of funny because if you flee the country, I mean, you don't get to come back. The subpoena's still there, is it not?
Obviously, you don't know anything about the law. The day he was supposed to appear for the subpoena is the day he was supposed to be there. The subpoena doesn't last ad infinitum. Mike, you're an amalgamation of all the right-wing talkers. You must listen to them a lot. You come up with the same foolish innuendos and ideas as things without any basis in fact that they do every single day.
Well, let me talk about one other thing. And, you know, you talking the other day, I was listening to one of your podcasts, and you were talking about how the Republicans are lying about him not visiting the troops in Germany.
Absolutely.
And when the Pentagon comes out and says they were prepared and ready for him to come.
Uh-huh.
They had extra duty people. They were ready for him. And then the timeline shows that he was not able to bring his entourage and all that stuff, so they canceled the thing. Now, that doesn't mean Obama did it, because I think Obama's probably a little smarter than that, but one of his handlers or one of his campaign people that was a pretty big fumble on that one, because it's never inappropriate to visit troops. I don't care what they say.
And so that's what you believe happened.
I can't prove that happened, and nobody can.
And so you don't want to believe Andrea Mitchell or any of the press people that were there and said that didn't happen. You don't want to believe them, right?
No.
Stop right there. Do you want to believe that Andrea Mitchell and other press people that there said categorically that did not happen? You don't want to believe that.
Well, I guess you've got one group saying one thing.
No. We don't have one group saying. We've got Pentagon people.
There's Pentagon people that approved the timeline. They said this is the way it happened.
They did approve the timeline. But when Barack Obama got there and saw that it was going to be a problem, not to bring his photo people in and all that, because as the press people said, he never had any intentions of doing that. Never. Never. So, in other words, Andrea Mitchell and the people were there and saw this with their own eyes. With their own eyes, you just don't believe any of them.
Why did he quit? Why did he stop? Why did he not go?
He didn't go because he didn't want to make it an issue.
It's a freaking campaign tour.
He had just been to visit other wounded troops.
Yeah, but not the ones in Germany.
Oh, I see.
It was on the agenda to go.
You know what, Mike? You know what, Mike? The McCain campaign is so goddamn envious of that trip. They know that Barack Obama.
This trip.
They went out. They know that Barack Obama scored a lot of points on that trip. They know that he looked like a statesman. And here's what they know most of all. They know that people in other countries got to look at an American who could bring honor back to this country again. That's what they got to see. And they are hating that.
They didn't come there to see Obama. They came to see a rock concert before he was there to speak.
Oh, I see. 200
things that they're doing.
Mike, somebody on the chat room just now has summed it up that you are batshit right wing crazy, and you won't believe you won't believe anything anybody says. You've got it in your head that whatever your right wing websites and talkers tell you is the truth. And Mike, that just makes you a freaking idiot. I'm not going to waste any more time with him. Is he not the perfect example? Is he not the perfect example of what I talk about day in and day out on this program? We have half the press in the United States standing there at that deal with Obama and seeing these wounded troops, saying that what the McCain people said happened did not happen because they saw it with it. The McCain people didn't see it. They weren't there. You see, that's the difference. They weren't there. They made up a story about it, and they tell the story, and the press people were there and saw it and reported what they saw, and it was exactly the opposite of what the McCain people said. Exactly the opposite, and yet Mike won't believe it because it's not what he wants to believe. He doesn't want to believe anything about racism, that there aren't any black folks in the Republican Congress, and in the Republican Congress because there's not racism involved. He doesn't want to believe that. It's amazing. It's just amazing. So I am, you know, I've been going to institute, and I'll get to the phones in just one second. I wanted to institute. I know Chris Matthews has got his, not Matthews, Keith Olbermann. He's got his worst person in the world thing and all that like that. I planned on instituting our clown club today. We had the other day we said McNasty was a clown, and yesterday we said somebody else was a clown. I had somebody picked out for our clown club of the day, and I'm going to have to give it to Mike from Houston. Mike overrode the clown that I had here. Mike, you are the Guy James Show clown club member of the day. It's just amazing to me that people like that exist. It really is. He's one of those drill, drill, drill people. And by the way, aren't those a hoot these days? You've got the oil companies themselves. Oil companies themselves saying they're not going to produce any oil from these new drillings for 7, 8, 10 years. The oil companies themselves. And yet you got people like Mike running around, no, they'll have it in 6 months. And it'll drop the price of gas way down. Yeah, it's going to be great. Mathau has a good idea. So send him a plaque. Clown Club. First initial Clown Club member. But I'll have to do that. Get a little engraving on. It's a good idea, Mathau. It's a good idea. Oh, well, anyway. You know what scares you is to know that there's 51 million people like Mike around. And I don't want to be on Mike. Mike's probably a good guy. He's just pretty misinformed. But there's 51 million people like him pulled the lever last time around. And let me tell you something. You know as well as I do. You know as much as they're trying to put distance between themselves and George W. Bush. Most of them say, well, you know, it didn't work out the way I wanted to. I voted for him twice, but McCain will be okay. If Junior Bush, you can bet your hind end on this, if Junior Bush were running for a third term right now, those people would vote for him again. You know they would. You know they would. Mike would. Wouldn't you, Mike? You'd vote for him again. Yeah, we'd vote for him again because there's a black guy running for president of the United States, and we can't have that. No siree, we can't have that. But then again, there's no racism in the Republican Party. Hey, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say there aren't any Democrats that are racist either, because there are. But I think we know who's got the most. And all we have to do is look at the United States Congress. The idea that Democrats have coerced the entire black population of the United States that the Republicans are no good and that the Democrats are. You couldn't state it more blatantly than that the entire black population of the United States, you're just saying they're stupid. They're highly manipulable. You can get them to do anything you want to. All they got to go out and say, hey, don't vote for those nasty Republicans. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do. Vote for Democrats. All of you. If you're black, vote for Democrats. That's all you got to do. You got to go out and tell them. Now, why wouldn't the Republicans, since they own the airwaves and since they got all the talk shows and all that, since they got the big noise machine, and since they got money, why don't they go out and coerce the African Americans in this country and tell them that they, the Republican Party, are the party that's really good for them? I'll tell you why. Because black, white, yellow, whatever, we're all the same intelligence. And people know what's good for them and what's poison for them, and they don't want to take the poison. And the Republican Party's been poison for black folks for forever and ever. So, don't give me that. It's absurd on its face, and any thinking person knows that. I don't have to tell you the history of racial equality and equal rights in this country. I don't have to tell you what happened to the legislation of that and all the people that switched over to be Republicans, the Democrats that switched over to be Republicans during that time, because they were avowed racist. I don't have to tell you the history of that. Ludicrous indeed. So some rapper comes up with something that's offensive to somebody, and the Democratic Party is supposed to suffer for it? I don't think so. I'm not going to hold the Republicans responsible because what was that idiot the other day that, you know, I had fun with it. That actor. Angelina Jolie's father, or whatever his name is. I can't think of it anymore. That's the great regard I have for showbiz. But he out and made of an ass of himself in the Washington Times the other day. Made a complete ass of himself in the Washington Times. Do I think that he's a big deal in the Republican Party and he's going to influence a bunch of Republicans and that he's associated with John McNasty and all that? Do I think that? No. I'm smarter than that. I'm smarter than that. He's just some showbiz asshole that had an opinion that doesn't... John Voight, thank you. He's just some showbiz asshole whose opinion doesn't matter to anybody. That's why I made fun of that the other day. And yet Ludacris, why, he's a big-time Democrat, and he's really well-connected in the Democratic Party, and he's got Barack Obama's ear, and he's probably given Barack political advice. Well, I'll tell you, it's been an interesting day. Thank you, Mike. Thank you for calling. Always good for a few moments of entertainment. And it's good. I like that. Don't get me wrong. I may sound a bit antagonistic to him and all that, but I like it when somebody calls like that because I wouldn't have to say another word, would I? You could just put somebody like that and say, hey, go ahead, espouse your, give us your opinions on this, and this, and you could listen to it, and you go, oh, my God. And you'd be entertained. And no question about it, you'd be entertained. but it's scary on one hand, too. It really is to know that somebody's that narrow-minded, unwilling to listen to reason on anything, never believes, your lying eyes. I don't know what you could say to somebody. I really don't. Hey, we've had a good time here on the program today. I enjoyed being with you. Don't forget to check out freepress.org, Bob Fertakis' website. Mark Levine coming up next. Always a great lineup tonight. Bob and after Mark, and we've got Peter coming on later on. It's a great evening. And a lot to listen to. This is the radio network where you really get informed. This is a radio network where you get the straight talk. And Mark always with a good program, and Bob as well, and Peter. So and John, don't forget John Fox. And Billy Shear's show on the weekend, a heck of a show as well, Saturday night, 9 to 12. Have you listened to Billy Shear's program? If you don't, you should. Hey, it's been a pleasure being with you, as always. You're listening to Guy James here on The Guy James Show, Billy Shear's music director, proud member of the Head On Radio Network. And don't forget, you heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Later, gang. Have a great weekend.